Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us as we come with another Africa Discipleship. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you and we bless your name. Help us to hear your voice today. Help us to be willing to apply what you teach us. Help us to yield to your spirit. Help us to just be willing to run this race because we are on the last leg. We thank you for being with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I would like, by the way, I'm coming to you from the island of Jamaica. For those who are listening to the recordings a little later, I'm coming to you from Clarendon, the parish of Clarendon, and I am excited about what God is doing as he allows us to study his word through the marvels of technology. Here we are way out in the country, so to speak, and yet we are able to share this good news with our brothers over there in Kenya simultaneously. All right, anyway, what we're doing, ladies and gentlemen, as we bring you greetings in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, our Savior, we are going to study in this lesson and talk and discuss and to drill down and dig out knowledge or an information about a special blessing that God has ordained for those who obey him. This is a blessing of provision that most have overlooked. Consequently, they do not receive. So let us explore. Now, we are commanded to appear 3 times a year before the Lord. This is at a place that is designated by his ministers. Let's go to Deuteronomy, the 16th chapter. We're going to look at it, drill down in verse 16, but just a touch on verse 1. It says, observe the month of Abib. Abib is the first month of the year by God's calendar, and it's usually in the spring season. At least in the northern hemisphere, usually March, end of March or the beginning of April. And so he says to keep the observe to keep the Passover unto the Lord, for in that month of Abib the Lord thy God brought you forth out of Egypt by a mighty hand, so to speak. Or barely, but night it says here. But the point is he did it with a mighty hand, and you will read in other studies how that was done. But in verse 16, he says, 3 times a year shall all males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. 3 times. That's days of unleavened bread, that's Passover and unleavened bread, feast of weeks, or Pentecost. And, of course, Feast of Tabernacles, which comes along with the last great day. And, of course, those are preceded by Feast of Trumpets and Day of Atonement. But my point here is, as you notice, it is 3 seasons for the year. And so he says all males must appear before him. Why is that? Because the way God has structured the family, the males are supposed to be the leaders. No. It's not an option, ladies and gentlemen. It is a requirement that they do this. And you'll find that wherever this is not done, the family generally is not blessed. Here, some ladies were a little aware, and so they can come directly also and receive, but God holds the men accountable, and a lot of them are going to get a lot of spanking. You wonder why so many families are poor and broke and can't find their way around? That's one of the reasons. We want to explore this because I want you all to learn of this blessing. I don't want you to keep going through life not able to make it. You're living on, you know, get along street, so to speak, you know, the expression where you're just barely able to pay your bills. That's not from God. But many do not know, and so they don't receive. Well, I want to go ahead and drill down a little further today so you begin to see part of what is in the book so that you can read it for yourself and apply it and, of course, receive from the Lord. All right? So what we find then, he says that they must appear before him. And he says, do not appear before him empty. That means come with something to give. Well, you can't give anything if you don't have it. So he expects then for you to be blessed so that you can have it. So first you made a decision, and so you're coming, and you're preparing yourself. And I just tell you, basically, when I started out, ladies and gentlemen, what I used to do, because I didn't have a bank account at the time, I have checking, actually several checking accounts now, but then I did not have any at all. And what I did was I had an envelope, and I would just, you know, when I cashed my paycheck back in those days, I would cash my paycheck and I'll just take out a small portion and put it in that envelope week after week. And when it is time to go to the services on the holidays, I would carry a portion of that. And we do this 7 times a year. That's what I used to do. Did it work? You sure did. And it will work for you too. Now I've graduated where we have checking account, so I'll just go and carry a check. But my point is, when I started out, that's how I did it. All right? So I am saying, you must come and don't come empty. That's Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16. Now, for the folks who won't read the earlier writings, which they call the Old Testament, they misunderstand what God had in mind and how the Bible is set up. Consequently, they overlook this and they blind the eyes of the other people, because most people assume that the Bible starts in Matthew. They don't say that, but their action indicates that's the case, and they are dead wrong. And so here it is. He's telling us about a blessing, and it is alluded to there. Let's go a little further, though. Look at verse 17. Every man shall give as he's able. No, you don't expect you to give what you don't have. As he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord your God, which he had given you. Did you hear that? According to the blessings that God has given you. Well, if he didn't give you anything, you don't have it, of course. But the point is this, he's guaranteeing that he is going to give you a blessing. Well, what guarantees that? Because he told you before, when you come before him, he's going to do this. So he has already implied, since he is not a time waster, he's not there trying to pull your legs, he's there willing to help you come over onto the right side where you are receiving and doing things his way. And so he's telling us that individually, we are able to give. And who determines how much? You do. Yes, you. You decide how much you're going to give. Now, what I used to do back in those days, again, I just making reference. It doesn't have to be that way in your congregation. You know, you can use your discretion. But they used to make an announcement about the average that everybody was giving. So I look at it, and after a couple of weeks, I say at that time it was $50. Back in those days, $50 was a lot of money. And so I would, $50 per person. Well, I have 4 kids and my wife, myself. My wife wasn't working at the time. So I make sure I give an offering for each of them equivalent to that. That's what I did. Now, you don't have to do the same. Use your discretion. That's between you and Jesus. I'm not going to jump into it. No, I won't. I'm just telling you what he says. Give an offering, and you determine that. Now, he says, as on the other areas, explain how to give an offering, but we're not going there this morning. In this lesson, we're just going to tell you that he says, come, be prepared to give, and don't come empty. Now, not everybody understands this, and so they go out and they miss out again. I am saying to you, he says, give as according to the blessing which of the Lord, which he had given you. So he's guaranteeing that he is going to give you a blessing. That's why I designate the title of this study as a special blessing. Because most people don't read this, so they won't get it. They don't understand. They are without. And so they just stay in what I call Never Never Land. It's not that they all are lazy or just all mean. They just don't know any better. So they'll do without. Are they going to go to hell? No, that's not what the Bible is talking about. No. No, some will try to tell you that's the case. That's not true. They make that up. They hear it from somebody else. Nothing like that is in the Bible. Yes, I've read the whole Bible. There isn't anything like that in there. So here it is. He's implying that a blessing will come upon us when we do this. First, you appear before him, and then you come with an offering. And I'm saying to you, get hold of this. Don't lose sight of it. So what is the method of these provisions? That's the next question that would come to mind. Now, how do you expect it to operate? Well, in Deuteronomy, the 14th chapter, it starts out in verse 22. It's easy to read over it, so listen carefully. And when you get your own time, just go in a quiet place, get your Bible out, and read this, okay? It says in verse 22, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year." Did you get that? "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that your field bring forth year by year." So he's telling us now you should get a tithe. Well, most people who are associated with any church understand that there is something called a tithe. It means 10%, whatever your increase is. All right? And so he's telling us set aside that tithe. But notice he says something that's a little different now in verse 23. He says, "You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of your corn, and of the wine, and of their oil, and the firstlings of thy herds, and of thy flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always." So he's saying, you must go eat this. Why? So you can learn to show him. Fear there means show him the proper respect, the proper reverence. That you may learn. See, most people don't learn to reverence God. That's one of the reasons why you have so many killings and murderings and stealing and poverty and all the confusion you see on planet Earth. People can't get along because they don't respect God or his ways. They haven't yet learned to fear him. Oh yes, there's coming a time when everybody's going to get a chance, but that is not the case now. Only a select few people have chosen voluntarily, they have to choose, to volunteer to listen to him. He's going to force it when he comes back. It's not time yet. He's giving us a chance now to come freely, and those who come freely are going to be in what we generally refer to as the first resurrection. We'll talk more about this at another time. But I just want you to understand what he's doing here, and listen carefully now. So he says, you shall tithe, and you set this aside. And he says in verse 24, if the place is too far from you, in other words, it is far from where you live generally. It is far. Well, you can't carry all that produce with you. You know, years ago, I remember folks talking about they were going to the feast, and folks used to set aside part of their crops just like this, part of their meat and so on, and then they carry this in little bags and so on in their carts. You know, those are the days when they used to have what they call a horse and buggy or a carriage. And they would just pack that stuff up and they go. Well, if it is too far, and so in modern times, people go sometimes thousands of miles away. I've taken my children thousands of miles away from where we live to go to the feast. We fly on an airplane. Well, where we get that money? Well, we get that money because I set it aside. That was, as the leader of the family, that was my responsibility, and I set it aside. Now, there were people who laughed at me and say, well, you know, you're wasting your time, but they misunderstand. There are people who just didn't understand, and they're trying to tell me that it doesn't work. Well, they didn't get it, and so I'm still doing it many, 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 many years later. So what I am trying to point out to you, ladies and gentlemen, is that he says, you shall get set aside this tithe. And when you go to that designated place, what you shall do is change that money or use the money to buy whatever you do need. In our case, we pay for our hotels. We pay for our plane fares from that. We said we also carry our offering with us, which is a little different. We set aside that differently. But we carry that with us and we give it when it's time to give. And of course, we buy, you know, food and so on. And sometimes we're generous to the local people. We give them gifts and so on. I could spend time talking about that, but we'll do that another time. But you get the idea. And so what I am saying is this. He is implying that he's going to give you a blessing, a special blessing, so you can do these things. Now, you may not realize it, but long before I came into the church, I remember my grandmother, she used to farm. She's planted corn. At that time she was married. She had spouse had passed away, and so she had she was there planting, and some of her this the tree, when you plant a corn, it comes up on what we call a stalk, and it gives some of them used to give like 2 and 3 hairs on it. Yes, I saw those with my own eyes. The trees that have what we call tangerine and oranges, they bear so much the trees were hanging over. Now, after she got married, that it didn't work that way anymore. They just grow ordinary. I'm saying God went out and put out extra effort and took care of her. He will put out extra effort for you to do these things. And a lot of people don't understand this, so they end up doing without. I am going to encourage you to read this when you get some time, so you begin to see. This is what I'm saying. This is a special blessing that God has purposed for his people. And when we do these things, what we're going to find is that we are going to be blessed immensely. Now, I know you always have the naysayers are trying to tell you that this is, Old Testament. They don't understand, folks. Why? Listen, why don't people just read the Bible and accept it the way it is? Sometimes they seem to have a hard time doing that. Well, let's go to Zechariah, the 14th chapter. It's prophesying about what is going to happen when Jesus returns. Look at what it says in chapter 14 and verse 16. He says, it shall come to pass. What is going to come to pass? The things that I'm talking about here. Everyone that is left of all the nations. So when he comes back, only a few people are going to be on earth. Why is that? We'll cover that in another lesson. Most of the people are going to be killed in wars and by diseases and famines and stuff like that. So only a few people are going to be on planet Earth. You're going to be able to go thousands of miles and don't see anybody because most of the people are going to be dead. Well, here he says now, of it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. What are they going to do? Keep the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is the highlight of all the feasts of the Lord. A lot of people don't realize that, but it is. Because it represents the great, or I should say, the large ingathering that is going to take place when Jesus comes to set up the kingdom of God on earth. Most of the people now are just going to live their life just like an animal and they die. No, they don't go to heaven or hell. That's not what the Bible says. They stay in their grave, and God is going to deal with them later. We'll do that in another, we'll study that in another lesson. But what is happening is only a few people remain because God is always going to deal with a number. The others are going to come back by a resurrection. We'll talk about that in another lesson. But in this lesson, we're focusing now on just the ones who remain. Of the ones who remain, when they get frightened and scared out of their skin, so to speak, and realize things are really serious, they're going to be willing to listen because Satan is going to be bound. And so we, the saints, are going to be changed. And we are going to talk to them from the spirit realm and tell them, hey, this is the way. They won't hear a voice. They'll just hear a thought that comes to them, which is how the spirit realm works these days. And so they shall go up to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to do this. What about Passover and Feast of Weeks and so on? They're going to do that also. All right? But this is telling us this is going to happen. Now, verse 17 says, it shall be that whichever of the families, it means any people of the earth, who refuse to come to worship the King of Kings, that's the Lord, upon them will be no rain. Read verses 17 and 18 when you get some time. But what I am saying is that they are not going to get any rain because God means business. And that's what I'm saying, though. They're going to be forced to do things the right way. They're not being forced now. He just let us choose voluntarily. during this time, it's whosoever will. Well, I've chosen to follow, and that's one of the reasons why I'm able to talk like I am now. Now, let's read a little further, because I want you to begin to see more about the blessings of God. Because a lot of people, if they really knew what was available, they would have changed a moment and just turned to God and started to do it right. But they don't know. Satan, the devil, has blinded their eyes. Some of them even have ministers who themselves are blind. And so they can't teach these things. In Malachi, the 3rd chapter, verse 10, it says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me there, which says the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour you out a blessing, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Did you hear that? He said, bring all your tithes, that's the regular tithe, into his storehouse. No, you're not going to keep that in your bank account. You'll give that to the church. And prove him if he's not going to open the windows of heaven. By the way, this we generally refer to as the first tithe. Most churches know this as the tithe because not many, as I said, know about the second tithe. But they set aside this tithe, is designated. And he said, prove him by giving that to the church. And he's going to pour you a blessing that you will not. In other words, he's going to bless you immensely so that you're not going to have room to receive it. It's going to be more than you can handle. And notice what he says again in verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. What is a devourer? It is anything that goes contrary to the plan of God that robs you of the blessings that God wants for you. That's what it is. And he says, now he, God, is going to come personally and run that stuff away so that it don't consume your resources. And so he's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall you your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Notice verse 12. I want us to begin to see this, folks. All nations shall call you blessed. Why? Because the people are going to start to see, hey, man, what is it you're doing? You just seem so blessed, nothing seems to stop you. That's why. All nations shall call you blessed. For you shall be a delightsome land, says the Lord of hosts. I am saying to you that God is offering you a special blessing for those who have chosen to follow him. You know, as children of God, we are a light to the world. We wear a type of badge, so to speak. No, not a police officer or a soldier, you know, but we have a badge representing Jesus, the kingdom of God. Our life is a living testimony. That's why you read in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light shine. Well, we are a living testimony of God's goodness. I'd like for you to ask your pastor or whoever you get this source of literature for more information about the location of the next assembly and start preparing yourself to go. Start where you are. Just do what you know. Put aside, you know, the year already started, but you do it every year. And so I usually start immediately after the Feast of Tabernacles for the following year. But my point is, you can start now. Come before God as he commands, not only pleases our Savior, it is a blessing to all those who observe those instructions. So come before him and rejoice and get hold of this blessing. We'll see you in the next lesson, because I don't see anybody else online at this point in time.